The House and the Senate have been reorganized, like you're moving around furniture in your living room ahead of a big family Christmas party. We look at what happened, the vote numbers, what's coming out of the gate first in the 2025 year of the legislative session. It's the Palmetto Family Matters Show, and it starts now. Welcome in to the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show. It is Thursday, December 12th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I don't have many more days of saying that. I'm Justin Hall, Randy Page. Alongside, a lot to get into. We had reorg. That's what we've been calling it. That's what most people call it. If you don't know what reorg is, we're about to, as I used to say, learn you a thing or two. Reorganization. As we begin the first year of a two-year session, so just for a refresher, if you're new to South Carolina politics, welcome. Glad you're along for the ride. Get ready. It's going to be crazy. Reorganization is the start of a two-year session. We have two-year sessions here in the state of South Carolina. So once we get all the new elections in, this year we had Senate and House up, all of them, all however many seats. I don't even remember the number right now.
170.
170, there it is. I was trying to do quick math in my head. Never do quick math on air. So we have to select new leadership-ish. Maybe new, maybe same old. Who's to say? Well, we do have to actually make those decisions, and we have votes all the way down from Speaker of the House to Sergeant-at-Arms of the House, Reading Clerk, and all that in between, Senate Majority Leader, Senate President, and Minority Leaders, and all the rest gets decided during reorganization, and we get a little few rule changes. And so, Randy, before we get to the leadership side of things, I think it is important that we mention this. This is actually doesn't seem like it'd be big news, but it could be big news in 2026. And that is the Senate passed a rule that removes the crossover date. There is no more crossover in the Senate. So if you could, Randy, please explain what that means and the significance that that could play next year in 2026.
Sure. The Senate rule prevented House bills that weren't in the Senate by a certain date to not be considered. And so, you know, that really kind of jams stuff up, per se, in the different chambers as you looked at the crossover dates. It will be interesting to see how the House responds to that. That was a rule change by the Senate, in addition to another rule change dealing with committee chairman on the Senate side. So it was always interesting to see the more deliberative body, as we call it, make some of those big rules changes this year as they begin the 126th General Assembly here in South Carolina.
Exactly. And you mentioned committee chairs, and that's where I want to go next. South Carolina is in an interesting spot in that there is a supermajority inside both chambers.
Yes.
Both. The Senate is, I will say this, and I don't think I'm going to ruffle any feathers by saying it. The Senate is officially filibuster-proof now.
Yes.
Said, well, Justin, it was filibuster-proof for Republicans last time. No, it was not. Nope. I can point to specific debates on that issue. But both chambers now have supermajorities, including the House. And there's been a lot of kerfuffle, that's your word of the day, kerfuffle, on social media regarding subcommittee chairmanships. And I don't want to get into the ego side of the politics here, whilst honestly, it's intriguing to me to watch that happen. I would like to make it just a simple point here, and I think, Randy, you would agree with this point. When you have a supermajority in the House, 88 Republicans in the House, you shouldn't have, and this is, again, we're a nonpartisan organization, so please understand what I'm saying. If you are a Republican and you would like to see Republicans in control at all levers of power in your state government, and specifically in the House of Representatives, There is no reason for there to be any Democrats chairing any, not a committee, not a committee. And this to me is an issue right in this vein, Randy. When we had the medical marijuana bill last time around, I was told, we were told as a public, that the senator who had worked on that legislation, he's been working on it for so long, we just need to, you know, just pass it. I don't think that's how you properly do politics. I don't think that's how you properly do policy. I don't think that's how you properly govern the people. I mean, I love a good lemonade stand, right? But I'm not going to go buy lemonade from somebody who doesn't make good lemonade just because they've been standing out on the corner for 8 hours. It's not what I'm going to do. So in the House Ways and Means Committee has announced their subcommittee assignments. And you've got several chairmen out there that are Democrats, including probably one of the more important ones for the issues that we're going to be facing this year is Representative Beth Bernstein of Richland County. She's chairing a subcommittee in the Judiciary Committee. A Judiciary Committee subcommittee that could see several of our pieces of legislation come through it that we're supporting and that we're advocating for. Randy, kind of help us out here. Help me out here. Because the one thing I don't want to be is lambastic. I don't want to burn the house down in an effort to save the house. I don't want to do that. And I don't want to lay the blame at the wrong feet. I do not believe, and you can correct me here, I do not believe this is a Merle Smith problem, a Speaker Smith problem. I don't believe he's sitting in a back chamber saying, ah, ha, 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 ha. You know, I don't think that's it. So walk us through how subcommittee chairmen are appointed, who oopsed amongst us appoints them, and then what are we setting ourselves up for here with sort of a precedent such as this?
Sure. Yeah, subcommittee chairs are appointed by the chairs of the committee, period. And so I think, you know, and I'm going to speak kind of as a voter here. I think when you look at a state like South Carolina and you have a supermajority, the question comes into play, you know, why would we have Democrats who, you know, in the House literally have, I'm doing math on this, 36 seats, why would they be rewarded with a number of subcommittee chairs on House Ways and Means or House Judiciary or, you know, any House, you know, committee? Now, obviously, there are some House committees that require Democrat chairs, you know, so not Democrat chairs, but Democrat members, you know, like ethics, and I believe there's at least one other one. But in Ways and Means and Judiciary, when there are so many issues that connect with what Republicans say they're running on, you know, to have a Democrat sitting there to determine the agenda just doesn't make any sense to me as a voter, and frankly to a lot of other voters, you know, who took the time to elect, you know, conservatives to positions to enact conservative policy.
Right. And you mentioned speaking as a voter, it just doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't. And I chuckle at some of the reasoning people give for why these things happen. And ultimately, again, you got to remember who are you laying the blame for that on? We're going to keep tracking this because I think there are going to be some pieces that move over the next couple of weeks. Because again, we had reorganization, but it's December 12th. Christmas is in 13 days. Blinking red light warning to you if you haven't started your shopping. Christmas is in 13 days. And so we're another 7 after that. So about 20 days away from the start of a new year. And then another 10 or 15 days away from the start of the session. So we've got time here that you could see some things change. Now, speaking of seeing some things change, we were both at a committee hearing on Tuesday, and I told you sitting in the hallway waiting for that door to be opened, because I'm like, man, I'm usually not sitting out in the hallway waiting this long for a door to be opened. I don't know if I've ever been to a committee hearing that did not A, have a bill, or B, really have any testimony on said bill, or three, have any idea what was going to be said. I had no idea what was going to be said in that committee hearing. Now, we were at a Senate Education Subcommittee hearing chaired by Senator Greg Hembree of Oree County. And there were two other senators in attendance, Senators Rex Rice and Senator Tom Young. And Randy, it was on K through 12 scholarship funds / programs. And I'll let you, because you are much more well-versed in this than I am. And so I want to allow you to kind of give your takeaways. All I'll say is, if this bill been pre-filed since then, gets passed in the Senate and then passed in the House, I can officially say that the South Carolina Education Lottery will do what it was designed to do. And we have been waiting many, many, many decades, two or three, for that to take place. So your thoughts on this bill that I don't even know if it has a name yet. So I'm just going to call it the bill we heard about on Tuesday.
Yes, and I believe it was, pre-filed on Wednesday, but I've not seen it posted yet. But it was, having been involved in the school choice debate for decades, yes, that is the correct word, decades. It was very interesting to me to see that it was a lot of the very same people that were there for and against. And, as we're standing outside, it's like, oh, that person looks familiar. Oh, that's who that is. I remember them. And so, but it was, as you mentioned, Justin, very interesting to have a hearing with, no testimony. It was all written. And then there wasn't a specific bill that the subcommittee hearing was on. Right. The, both Senator Hembree and staff spoke in incredibly declarative terms about where they wanted to go with this particular bill. And, if memory serves me right, and I believe it does, this particular bill actually goes farther and is bigger than the bill that was challenged before the state Supreme Court. And, I think even as I walked out, one of the things I said to you is the moral of the story is don't make the legislature mad.
Yeah.
And, I think they were very distraught with what happened. And then also you've just got the group of students who were immediately affected by the court's decision. They were kind of in limbo. And so to be able to help them and to be able to support students being able to find the best school for them to learn is something that South Carolina, frankly, has been so far behind on that it was refreshing to see, a proposal really presented incredibly well by Senator Hembree of what it could be here in South Carolina. So it was a really exciting hearing to be able to go to and look forward to seeing how the bill progresses through the Senate and the House and really just to see what other types of bills are out there to promote school choice.
Yeah, and this one is has been pre-filed as Senate Bill 62, S-62. Again, I can't wait for the testimonies and committee hearings where people say, HB, I'm testifying on behalf of HB or SB. We don't do the B. It's just H and S. Just we don't do that. S-62, it's for the Education Scholarship Trust Fund, and it is robust. Not as robust as some other bills I've seen that have been pre-filed. And those bills include things like lessening penalties for those in possession of cocaine and heroin. I've seen that bill floating around. If you want a good laugh, go to the State House website, scstatehouse.gov, click on legislation on the left side, click pre-filed legislation in the House and then pre-filed legislation in the Senate. You can just scroll through. I'll go ahead and let you know. And I'm
it's interesting. It's really interesting out there.
I'm meaning this with all due respect, and I do mean all due respect. I would wager 70% of those pieces of legislation will not see the light of day. It's just, there's nobody who won't. And that's okay, because we live in a constitutional republic, and that's how things should work in these parts. So again, this is just to get you primed up for what's coming in January. Now, there are plenty of things coming down the pike in January, and that starts with Proudly Pro-Life Weekend. It is coming up on January the 10th and the 11th of 2025. Now, I'll go ahead and let you know we're batting leadoff for that. We're kicking off that event. We are handling the tip. I think I've done all three major sports. We are doing our annual Prayer in the Chambers event on Friday, January the 10th at 4 o'clock, second floor lobby of the South Carolina State House. If you don't know what this is, if you haven't been a part of this event, it's a really cool event. It's completely free. Come as you are. Just, again, we ask, this is from security at the State House, please do not bring any animals that are not service animals. Do not bring any musical instruments. Do not bring any weaponry of any sort. Do not bring any noisemakers. Blanket statement. We move on. Come as you are. Outside of that, you don't need to dress up. Come as you are. We'll meet in the second floor lobby where we will give you a little bit of instruction. And then you'll be able to go into both chambers, possibly. The Senate's always tricky. We never know. But you'll definitely be able to go in the House chamber and pray for the representatives that are in that chamber. Again, we ask that you do not touch their desks or go up on the dais. Please, just all those rules will be reiterated. But this gives us a chance to pray for each and every legislator ahead of the 2025-2026 legislative session. And I will tell you this, Randy, I've been a part of all of these. The first one we did, I believe, was in 2022 before a Human Life Protection Act vote. Since then, we've done this several years in a row now at several different points in each year. I think it can be said we've seen the spiritual temperature of the chamber change.
That's great.
We've seen, I think it's proven by the legislation, we've seen family first, pro-biblical values legislation passed. Has it always been pretty? No. Has it always been what exactly you want? No. But I believe we're seeing some things change. And I think all of that comes from prayer and petition. Ultimately, the Lord is in control. He is on the throne, and he will direct the hearts of the kings and queens as he directs them in his hand like rivers. So ultimately, he's in control. But we do have the opportunity and the awesome privilege to petition the creator of the universe to hear our desires and hear our needs. And I think that's a wonderful thing. So join us on Friday, January the 10th at 4 o'clock inside the South Carolina State House. We'll have people directing you that you know where to go. And we look forward to seeing you there. That kicks off Proudly Pro-Life Weekend, Randy, because that is when South Carolina, after our event is over at about 4:45, because the State House closes at 5, and I don't want you left there like Night at the Museum. Then we have the Proudly Pro-Life dinner, followed by the March for Life the next day. So if you're not going to the dinner and hearing from Seth Dillon of the Babylon Bee at the dinner, then you should be at the march the next day. And I promise you, I'm telling you, I know it's been cold since about mid-November. We're starting to thaw out a little bit every day. It's getting into the 60s. January 11th will be the coldest day of the year for that march. There is like no question, it will be cold. It just will be. And if it's not, then just shed the layers. We're excited for Proudly Pro-Life Weekend as always. It's a great way to kick off the session because session starts 2 days later. So it's a really good weekend to be a part of for sure.
Absolutely. Then, I mean, it's always been something that I've enjoyed. And, you know, even as a college student, you know, just a few years ago when I was a college student, I was able to be at the March for Life and just meeting some of the, you know, pro-life leaders from across the state really is, I think, a good thing as we, you know, think about what's going on and then prepare to, protect children and help women who really are at a tough spot in their life.
Absolutely. And then as we near the end of the year, and as we wrap up this program, we're wrapping up the year 2024. We will be back probably post-Christmas, because I want to get as close to the end of the year as possible before I put together a show about a recapping of 2024. It will be the fullest year recap we've ever done. I thought 2023's was crazy. 2024 is going to be much more crazy. As always, as tradition, I give you the biggest stories from each month of the year, and you will see how quickly things change. And you'll be able to take a look back and go, wow, really, things got out of hand fast in these United States of America. So we'll do that at the end of the year. But on the point of the end of the year, Randy, if you would please tell people about an awesome opportunity they have for an end of year match.
Yes, we really have been blessed by God. In November, we received a $100,000 gift from a donor who had never given to Palmetto Family before. And he had given it so that we could use it as an end of year match. And so that's just a phenomenal opportunity for everyone to be able to give and to double their money. And so the match works as long as it's postmarked by December 31st, or you give it online at palmettofamily.org by December 31st at midnight. So be sure to check out our website at palmettofamily.org, and would love to have you help us as we seek to be a stronger voice for biblical values in South Carolina centers of influence. So again, super excited about the $100,000 match. You can double your money to help us as we represent you in the South Carolina State House and across the state.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful opportunity for you to have an immeasurable impact on what happens in our state. And as we move from reorganization, we now turn our attention to these pre-filed bills. We're already looking at the bills that have been pre-filed that we're going to be following, that we want to see cross the finish line. And some of those might cross the finish line a lot earlier than we expected. So we will keep you updated. We thank you for listening to this edition of the fastest growing and strongest conservative talk show in the state of South Carolina, the Palmetto Family Matters Show. We'll be back at the end of 2024 to give you a recap of the year. And then it is all hands on deck and all gas, no brakes into the 2025 legislative session. For Randy Page and our entire staff at Palmetto Family, I'm Justin Hall. Thank you so much for watching and listening to this program. It's this one, the Palmetto Family Matters Show. And we will talk to you down the road. Have a Merry Christmas.